Well, it's a couple of minutes after 6 o'clock in the Greater Bay Area, and as the man said, broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC, Los Altos Hills, and this is Thoughtline. Each week, we try to tell you fun things, interesting things, things you need to know. Tonight will be no exception. Tonight, we're going to be talking about, about emergency services, and you never know when something will happen. And if we look at the September 2010, there was a pipeline blast in San Bruno, and the people there, they were trying to figure out what to do. So tonight we're going to talk about what people in Los Altos Hills will do, and also give you an idea about, the Santa Clara County Fire Department and some of the programs that they have. So tonight we have in the studio with us Mike Saunders, who is the Emergency Services Coordinator for Santa Clara County, down at the El Monte Station, which is right here at the Foothill College campus. And we have Cynthia Sternberg, who is the CRT Supervisor for Los Altos Hills. CRT stands for Community Emergency Response Team. So good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks for being here tonight. And what we should first talk about, and let's put this in the context of the pipeline blast in San Bruno. So there was a huge pipeline blast in San Bruno that all the local people weren't really sure what to do. They didn't know where to go, what to do, and so part of it is that in emergency preparedness, that you want to have some places or some resources that people can go to or to listen to, so that they can know where to go.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm a retired fire captain with 30 years on the job in the Santa Clara County Fire Department, and about 5 years ago, I was hired by the Los Altos Hills County Fire District to do disaster preparedness programs, just like what you were talking about, Robert. The one thing up there in San Bruno that they had is, you're right, I know they had a plan up there. I know San Bruno Fire Department and the CDF department up there knew what they were doing, but when you have something of that magnitude, it is actually mass chaos for quite a while. When you talk about evacuation centers, they did have evacuation centers set up, but it wouldn't surprise me if that evacuation center might have been near the blast. So that's why they moved it off a ways. We've done that here in Los Altos Hills, where our main evacuation center for the area in Los Altos Hills is in lot number 7, right across from the El Monte Fire Station, just down the hill from the radio station.
Wow. That's real convenient for me.
yeah, and it can be a little bit tough for people sometimes to get there. But you know, if somebody lives on the other side of Freeway 280, they can go to any of the churches, say along Magdalena, or if they're north of Page Mill Road, there's the business centers that are just on the other side of Arastadero up there, and get there to safe areas. But you know, it's one thing to have an evacuation area; the other one is to make sure your family knows that you're at that evacuation center. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about and our listeners tonight was the use of radio station KFJC 89.7 FM. Is that is a huge need for us in the disaster to be able to get the correct information out in a timely manner. And in speaking with the people that work in the radio station here beside yourself, is that, you know, they have generator backup. They're able to transmit even when the power's out. So we're going to use this radio station to allow the citizens of Los Altos Hills County Fire District the opportunity to get information of where to go, what area not to go in. One could be that we have water at the lot number 7 right over here, and that's where we're going to tell people to go. So this radio station is going to be huge for us if in the event of a disaster, whether it's a earthquake or fire, or fortunately we don't have any large pipelines running through our area. Closest one is over at Foothill and near Arastadero, way over in that area of Palo Alto.
Okay. So and we're talking about gas pipelines, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we have water pipelines, but yeah, large gas lines. Like I think that was a 36-inch gas pipeline or even larger that blew up there.
Right.
Largest one we have in Los Altos Hills is 10-inch. Now, that can still cause a huge problem, but they don't seem to fail as much as those larger gas pipelines do.
Mm-hmm. And so what would be kind of an overview of how KFJC would work with the fire department?
Well, if in the event of a disaster, and we'll just use a earthquake, for example, that if the earthquake happens, our CERT members, our Community Emergency Response Team, like Cynthia right here, they are excuse me, they're told that when the things fall off the shelves, that's when they activate. And what they do at that point is they check their family, make sure their house is safe. They are all given maps of their neighborhoods. Los Altos Hills is divided into 56 different zones. They would go out and check their zone to make sure that their zone is fine, and then they would report that information to our emergency operations center at the Foothill Fire Station right across the street in the parking lot number 7. We have a facility there called the ARC, A-R-K, and in there we have ham radio connections, we have phones, we have water, we have food, and everything like that. So they would take that information to the ARC. That information is then sent to the town emergency operations center, which is where town hall is. And at that point, then the town would issue what kind of information wants to come out. That'll all be done by a public information officer through the town of Los Altos Hills. That information will then either be mailed, you know, emailed. It can be faxed. It can be even hand ran up here by somebody in a car. Or we even had somebody go, well, can I use my horse to do that? And yes, you can. We have a large population of horses up here. But that information would then be brought up to KFJC, and the people would then hear the information we need them to get regarding the disaster of, say, where to evacuate, what areas to avoid, is the water safe to drink, those kind of things. And I have to let people know that I know they want that information right away, but it does take time to gather that information as well as to get it and then get it sent out.
And also it's important to have a place where you can trust the information so you're not getting rumors or second guesses.
Right, and that's why we use the town of Los Altos Hills public information officer to be the main person that sends the information out. So it isn't coming from one individual in our CERT team that says, hey, I think that there's a problem up here on Edith Avenue or something like that. It all comes from the town. That way one person is giving the information out.
That's great. Well, tonight on Thoughtline, we're talking about the Santa Clara County Fire Services and also how KFJC and Los Altos Hills are going to be working together so that in the event of an emergency, KFJC will be giving out local information for people in Los Altos Hills. I wanted to talk to Cynthia Sternberg here about being a community emergency response team supervisor. What exactly does that mean?
It means a myriad of things, actually. I hit the ground running about 4 years ago when my neighbor, Terry Pfefferly and John Pfefferly, came over one evening and said, you know, you really need to be involved with this. We just started this new class called CERT, and we think that you'd be really, really good at it.
And she is.
And I had already missed the first two classes, but I called Mike and said, please, please, please let me in. I have a law enforcement background some years ago. And I'm really excited about being involved. I'm not a homeowner, and I live in the non-incorporated area, but it didn't matter because we need CERT everywhere. The fire district is actually incorporates an unincorporated area where I live. So it's not just Los Altos Hills. And we took the class, and he said, we're looking for some people to go down and take this supervisory course in San Luis Obispo, and it's a week of your time.
Wow.
Well, I had just started a brand new job, but thankfully I was working for somebody who is really involved in community and believes in community service. My boss, he's the president and CEO, John Fazio, and he said, go. Don't even take the PTO time, just go. And Terry went with me, drove down and took the course in SLO. It was intensive. It was 5 grueling days, ending up with a mock earthquake where you have 100 people in a room telling other people what to do and how to do it and where to go and how to go there, and come back and put all of that to work here with the CERT here in Los Altos Hills. And it has just been such a fulfilling experience. I am so grateful that I had the chance to take the PEP class first and then get involved with the CERT, because I feel like I have something I can give to the community, and I have the ability to lead for whatever and in whatever manner that is, and I want to be of assistance in an emergency. So what is it to be a CERT? It's to be somebody who other people can look up to and count on and know that helps on the way, helps there, and they will be safe.
And a lot of that is because that in a big emergency, if there's fire up in Los Altos Hills or a huge earthquake, that that you're not going to have enough firemen and policemen and other officials to be around
to
help
out. That's exactly correct. And we're prepared to go door to door. We're trained to go door to door. We each have a map that has our district on it, and if it's not your district or you finished your area, we'll give you a new map and send you to a new area, because I haven't had anybody sent out to that area yet. And we go door to door and do a visual check of every single house, every single property, do a you know, cursory gas sniff, and hold a pin up to see if the building is straight up and down.
Really?
You hold that pin up and the building is not straight up and down?
It's pretty basic, like some of the stuff that we teach. But, you know, piggybacking on what Cynthia does is one of the CERT supervisor's roles and responsibilities is the arc down at lot number 7 at Foothill College. In there, like I said, we have ham radios. We have all kinds of stuff in there to use in a disaster, which the Los Altos Hills County Fire District has purchased for us. We have probably $60,000 to $70,000 worth of equipment there. We have a couple disaster trailers that we can take out to areas once we've determined that they've been impacted. But the main thing that Cynthia, and we have four other CERT supervisors, along with another 20 to 30 that have been trained as assistant CERT supervisors, is to be able to go there and open up the ARC, start getting it set up, because it'd be nice if I could be there, but I live in Morgan Hill. There has been a saying that for every 10 minutes of travel time that you drive, that in an earthquake or a disaster, it's going to take you 1 hour for every 10 minutes. So I live 40 minutes away. It'll take me at least 4 hours to get here if things are right. So the citizens of Los Altos Hills County Fire District, like Cynthia, and she lives in the unincorporated area, which is part of that district. She lives south of Magdalena area, that they go there. We have it written out what they need to do to start setting up the command structure. Because as a fire officer for 30 years, if we didn't set up the incident right to start from, it was mass chaos trying to get it back in line. So by having individuals like Cynthia and the other people we have, we even have pictures of how this should be set up so that people can show up there and get to work. Some CERT programs that are out there, you may finish the CERT class tonight and the earthquake happens tomorrow and you're the first person there, and you're in charge, because that's technically how it works, is that whoever shows up first is in charge. But if you haven't had the training on how to set these things up and you've just taken the 24-hour class of CERT, it's going to be very difficult. So we have it set up that a third, we have 152 CERT members in Los Altos Hills.
Yeah, and Michael does such a stellar job at training. There probably is, I can't remember a single month that has gone by where we haven't had some sort of training where it's a refresher on your first aid, a refresher on CPR, a refresher on just opening up the ARC. How do you do it? How do you get the doors open? How do you turn on the lights? How do you start the generator? But one of the more important things, I think, is that we do have this ongoing training, and not every CERT course has that. So if and when, and it's going to be a when, something happens, we'll have the triage set up. We'll be able to help those who have been injured. We can't do surgery, obviously. We can fix stationary broken limbs, and we can stop bleeding, but we're not medical personnel. But we have some training and some pretty fundamental medical practices that will help save a life, how to clear a blocked airway, how to stop somebody who is bleeding to death.
We also do search and rescue training. Our CERT members are taught not to go into a building. Like Cynthia said, if you hold the pencil up and it's straight, that usually means the building is standing. Then you hold it sideways, and if it looks good that way, then you can probably make entry. One of the big problems we have up here in Los Altos Hills is the number of people that have gates. We've developed a program that is a card that was mailed to all of the citizens up here in Los Altos Hills. It's called Help OK. And on the front side is green, and it says, okay, if you're okay, then what you want to do is place this placard out at the front of your house, and it can be on the mailbox, gate, or front door. That means you don't need any assistance, but at least then we know when we drive by, or CERT members drive by, they see this green sign that says that they're okay. Also on that, it has radio KFJC, 89.7. You know, tune to that to get disaster information. If you're not okay, put this help sign out front, and we will come in and try to help you and do what we can to help you. But that's just a program that enables our CERT members to check an area quickly. We did a drill, it was last January or something, in 2011 with about 40 or 50 of our CERT members, and we tried to see how many houses we could see in an amount of time. And we spent about 2.5 hours, and we were able to check 60% of our town in 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And that's huge, because what we look for when our CERT members go out is to see if there's any damage, because that damage has to be reported back to the town, who then transposes that information to the county OES building downtown San Jose, and that's how we start getting help. So if we have a lot of damage in town, we can let them know that fairly quickly, because I think in about 5 hours we could check our entire town and make sure everything's okay. And it's not first come, first serve, but it sure is whoever squeals the loudest gets it quickly. And if we are one of the first people to say we need bulldozers or more medical or more fire engines or whatever it is we need for the disaster, the sooner we can get that information in, the better it is. And then that information from the county is sent up to the state, which then goes from the state to the federal government. But our CERT members are vital in getting that information for us.
Mike, I'm sure that there's many people out there tonight listening who received the Help OK sign in the mail and threw it away.
Yeah.
How do they get another one?
Well, they can contact me. They can go to, they can call me on my phone, which is 650-922-1055, or they can contact me on my email address, which is mike.sanders@cnt, that's Charlie Nancy Tom, at sccgov.org. You can also go to our Los Altos Hills County Fire District website, which is www.lahcfd.org, and you can send us an email, and I will personally either put it in the mail or bring it to your house. It's just a great program, one of the great many programs that we have in the fire district to help the citizens.
And we should probably say that that there are programs, there are similar programs, since there are people who are listening all over the Bay Area tonight.
Absolutely.
That that there are similar programs in other communities and areas. Now, they won't all use KFJC to get the word out, but they'll have their own way of being able to spread the word about what to do and where
to go. Right. We were mentioning before we came online, we were talking a little bit about that you have somebody that you know in Seattle that listens to your program. Seattle Fire Department and the surrounding areas there, even San Francisco. My brother lives in upstate New York near Rochester, and they have CERT programs in those communities. And there are ways to get information out to the people. The biggest problem we have is that people think that the phones are going to be the way to get information out, and that's not going to work. Phones are going to be overloaded. They're not going to be able to work for quite a while until the transmissions get put up. We have been told that texting is a way to communicate during an emergency. We haven't had to use that. Fortunately, here in Los Altos Hills, we haven't had a major incident since the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989. And at that time, we had 11 homes in Los Altos Hills get destroyed. We even had one major injury for a gentleman that was working in a bell tower, that the bell tower collapsed. And I'm not sure that he got killed or seriously injured, but we had a major injury that way. But most of the news programs and everything were in San Francisco. And that was interesting, because that's where was the major damage. But if you lived in Los Altos Hills and you wanted information, Channel 4, Channel 5, or whatever the news stations were, they weren't showing anything here. In fact, the hardest area that was hit from the earthquake was in the Santa Cruz, Watsonville area, and you never saw anything on the news there. So that's why it's important for us to get the message out tonight that in a disaster, you know, you should have this on your preset on your radio car or even in your house of KFJC 89.7.
I remember in 1989 when I was living in Palo Alto that I was sitting in my old very old house that started shaking right before the beginning of the World Series.
Correct.
Between the Oakland A's and the San Francisco Giants, and all the power went out, and I had a friend that lived up the street, and We went up the street, and there was a power line down, and the grocery store was closed because everything had come off the shelf. But we looked at we had a portable television that we
right.
were looking at,
right.
and all they were showing was the the Bay Bridge.
Correct.
And the
waterfront
Presidio
area. Yeah, 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 where all that was burning.
That's right. Fire. And so that the phone didn't work. That, you know, it was like one of those things where everybody wanted information, but nobody knew where to go.
Right.
I went right to the radio. That's the first place I went. And I think it's just instinctive. I believe that most people are going to go right to the radio. And realistically, we probably have a higher chance now of having a wildland fire, especially since we're entering into a drought.
Yes.
I mean, we're basically in a drought right now. And CERT would be utilized during a wildland fire to cordon off areas, to tell people where to go, and large animal evacuation. You know, up in these hills, we've got lots of large animals.
Yeah, in Los Altos Hills, we have over 200 horses alone. We have two major stables here, Fremont Hills Country Club Stables, with Richard over there, has, I believe, about 55 horses. And then West Wind Barn, which is owned by the town, has, with Crystal up there, have about 58 or so horses. And then you have your citizens that have horses up here as well. And in a wildland fire or even an earthquake, we have to evacuate them. And Santa Clara County OES, the County of Santa Clara, has developed large animal evacuation programs, and I'm proud to say that Los Altos Hills is one of the leaders in that. Yep. As far as getting horses out and everything like that. I'm currently working on a small animal evacuation program right next to the ARC at lot number 7. We're putting in another storage container that will house some animal supplies and some cages and stuff like that for them. But people also need to know that here at Foothill College, the gymnasium right across the street from us here is a Red Cross shelter site. They have enough beds and food and water and stuff to start with getting taken care of about 100 people. Yeah, but it's going to take time to set those shelters up. So, but, you know, back to the CERT thing, if anybody's interested, our first class that we're having, we have one class a year, and it starts April 17th. And graduates, I think it's like May 19th. But,
and shouldn't they have a pep course before they do that?
Yeah, one of the things that is unique to our program is that we teach a personal emergency preparedness class. It's a 3.5-hour class, and all these programs are free to the community. The CERT program does cost $90, but when you get done with the class, we give you the $90 back. So technically, it's free. But the personal emergency preparedness class is 3.5 hours. We have a senior personal emergency preparedness class that is 4 hours, but the first 3.5 are PEP, and then the last half hour is on senior health and wellness. And we cover a wide range of fire extinguishers, hazardous materials in the home, how to make a disaster kit. And so once you take that class, at the end of that class, we give everybody a four-person, three-day disaster kit that's worth about $130 for them to take home in case we have the disaster that night. So if you're a Hills resident and you don't have a kit, come take the class. We'll give you one for free. Once you get done taking that class, then you can take the CERT class. And the CERT class is about 16 to 20 hours. Most CERT classes everywhere else are about 24 to 30 hours. But we've condensed our program down because we require you to take personal emergency preparedness. And one of the reasons I like that is I've had 1,100 people in the Los Altos Hills County Fire District take our personal emergency preparedness class. And when you look at, say, 10,000 people that live in our fire district, and if you take out kids that are under 18, you're looking at about maybe 6,000 people that live in our area that could take the class, and we've had almost, we've had 1,100 people take the class.
That's great.
So, but that difference is the CERT class is usually offered in other places, and it's a longer class. Most people have 3.5 hours that they can give up compared to 20 to 24 hours to take a CERT class.
Right. So the next preparedness class is coming up on January 25th.
Yeah, I hate to say it, that one's full.
It's
yeah,
full.
That one's full. I just sent out mailers a couple weeks ago, and that one filled up. I have another one, a senior one, on the 28th. And then on February 25th, I have a senior class, no, regular PEP class. And then on the 21st and 23rd, it's a two-day class from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So it's a total of 4 hours for them. And those classes are all taught right at the fire station. We usually take about 15 to 20 people, so it's a small group. And the people love it. They interact, and we give them all kinds of stuff. In fact, I gave you a goodie bag there that has, you know, a whistle. Yep, it's got all kinds of stuff. It's got a ruler. It's and everything on there has make a kit, be prepared.
Right.
Because we want people to one of them is a letter opener. So while you're opening your letters, you may go, oh, I forgot to finish up my kit. And one of the problems that we've ran into with other programs is that we can give you a list of everything that you need to put in a disaster kit. But I saw a survey that was done by the government that said that if you do not act within 20 minutes after hearing some type of disaster preparedness message, you will not act on it. So by having these reminders in your house, such as the letter opener or the pill holder or the paperclip holder, those kind of things, it just gives you a reminder. But CERT is a lot of fun. We usually have about 30 to 40 people in the class. It's weeknights, and we have a final on Saturday, which is not really a final. It's just we go over everything one more time, and you get a nice certificate, and the town of Los Altos Hills provides a nice rib and chicken barbecue, and it's a great time.
Yeah, it really is. And I just want to impress on people, they don't have to join CERT to take PEP.
Correct.
PEP is really important. The personal emergency preparedness is very important, but you have to have the PEP to do CERT.
Well, one of the things on the PEP class that a lot of people don't know how to do is turn off their utilities,
right?
Such as in an earthquake. If you have to turn your gas off or your electric, or when to turn it off. I know I lived in Morgan Hill during the 85 earthquake, and where I live at, some good Samaritan citizen went around and turned off all the gas to all 600 homes in the area, and they had to be turned off. So PG&E had to come out and relight them. It took 10 days or so, and I know PG&E works hard to do it, but it was one of those ones that, you know, if what happens is if the gas gets turned off and you turn it on yourself and there's a problem, you have the liability. If it's turned off and PG&E comes out and turns it on, they check your house very thoroughly and they assume the liability.
And Mike, when should they turn off the gas?
Well, you should only turn off the gas if you suspect a leak. And if you do suspect any kind of leak, turn it off. It's very easy to turn it off, especially after you take the class. It's easy to learn how to do it.
And they even give you a tool.
But it's not one of those things where you turn off the gas just as a preventative.
Correct,
measure.
Correct. No, that used to be taught. Yeah. That used to be taught that if you had an earthquake, turn off your gas. And, you know, I know a lot of people have installed the automatic gas valve shutoffs that if the ground shakes enough, it'll automatically turn your gas off.
Right. Wow.
But those are installed by a plumber, and they're, by the time you have the plumber come out and buy the thing, it's about $300 to $400. But, you know, if you live in a $600,000 to a $10 million home that we have here, what's your house worth? So it's really a good investment.
Right. Some of us have more humble abodes, I'm sure. This is 89.7 KFJC and Thoughtline. I'm your host, Robert Emmett. Tonight we're talking about the Santa Clara County Fire Department and the Los Altos Hills County Fire District. We have Mike Sanders in the studio with us, who's with the Emergency Services Coordinator. We're talking about how KFJC is going to be the radio station that Los Altos Hills will use when there is a local emergency. And we also have in the studio with us Cynthia Sternberg, who is the CERT supervisor for Los Altos Hills. That's the Community Emergency Response Team person, and you can get involved with the citizens who are community emergency response people. I think there's a CERT website, which is citizencorps.gov/CERT, and that's like the national site, and you can find information there. But maybe Cynthia can tell us a little, what kind of people do you volunteer to be the community emergency response people?
That's a great question. Do you know, it's everybody. We have people who are older and wiser. We have people who are younger and still learning. We have people who are handicapped, but they're able to do something. Yeah, I have to have, when I go to set up the ARC, if I'm one of the first persons on scene, the first thing I have to do is set up a sign-in. If I have somebody who maybe can't get around as well or maybe is handicapped, they can sit there and ensure that everyone who comes up signs in, because in order to be activated, we have to sign in. The city has to know who we are and when we came on duty, plus the fact I need to know.
Accountability is huge in that type of incident.
It is, and I have to ensure that you don't work for 24 hours, because that's not safe. It's not safe for the people in the field. It's not safe for yourself, and it's not safe for those who we are trying to help. And safety is number one. So anybody and everybody should consider volunteering for CERT. It's not a huge time sink. It's wonderful.
One of the things, Cynthia, is, you know, when Robert asked that, is I got to thinking that I can remember some of my commissioners, my fire district commissioners, going, Mike, we need to get some younger people in there. And I tell them that we need people of all ages. I mean, we have women that are 35, 40, 50 years old that can go out and check houses and maybe put out a small fire or whatever. We have, I think our oldest person is like 87 years old. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, doesn't want to go out and put out the fires or anything, but she is definitely needed, because when we set up our ARC, it takes about 13 people to run that facility, whether you are on the ham radio or we have a big sign-in board on the back that lists all of our incidents. So it takes people to scribe. It takes Cynthia as the incident commander to have somebody that's operations. We follow the incident command system that is designed after the major fires in the late 60s down in Southern California, where it was just mass chaos. And so we follow the incident command system. We follow the NIMS and SIMS, which is a state and national reporting system of how we do business. And our CERT members are trained on that. So it's important that, you know, the youngest member we had was Miles, and I think he was 18 until he went off to Stanford. But he's probably our youngest. But, you know, it's like Cynthia said, I ran into a gentleman at a block party that I was doing that he was in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. In fact, he lives down in your area. And he was like, can I join CERT? And I said, absolutely. Love to have you. And he cannot write. He uses his mouth to move the pen on a keyboard, but he can type faster than I can type. So he could be somebody that we could use in the command post area.
And he really wants to be involved. So I think that that's important.
So we need to get him signed up, though.
And we do. And one of the important things that we're trying to do is bring back a sense of normalcy. What's more normal than a cup of coffee?
Yeah, we have the coffee pots.
We got the coffee pots. You have to have that coffee.
But, you know, when we talk about this, funding is a major issue for most cities. I know that some of my counterparts in Santa Clara County, such as like Saratoga, if they need a generator, they have to ask, beg, borrow, and steal, get somebody to get them a generator. The Los Altos Hills County Fire District provides us with funding. We have two disaster trailers, like I mentioned before, one at the fire station at El Monte. Then we have another one at the Loyola station just south of Magdalena on Foothill. You know, those trailers carry all kinds of disaster supplies. And if they're needed in Milpitas or if they get needed in Monterey or whatever, we can send down there. Our CERT people can also respond to those areas through what we call mutual aid. Right. But the fire district recently sent out a pamphlet that talks about the services they provide. And what's interesting is people think it's just the fire department. Well, that's not true. Our fire station that is here at Foothill College has four firefighters and a battalion chief at it. Most of our fire stations in Santa Clara County Fire Department have three firefighters and maybe a battalion chief at two or three other stations. So they have upped the amount of staffing that we have for our Los Altos Hills County Fire District. They also, during the summer, provide what we call a brush patrol. That is three additional firefighters during the fire season, which is usually from May until November. And on high fire days, they staff it for 24 hours. That's a huge expense for them, but they understand that they need to do things to pay to have our citizens protected. One of the programs that they do is a brush chipping program. If you live in Los Altos Hills County Fire District and you have a tree that you need to have removed, you cut it down, or if it's a tree that we can cut down for you, we will do it. And then we'll have a company come in and chip that material for you free of charge. We have I think it's the third Saturday of every month here at Foothill College up in lot number 4, we have a free garbage dump day. And you'd be surprised what people bring down to the thing just to throw away. And that doesn't cost them anything. That's funded by the fire district. We have a eucalyptus tree removal program. And they've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of removing eucalyptus trees, because in 1985, we had a major fire at Lidicote and Erastadero. Burned 11 homes to the ground in Los Altos Hills and a couple more in Palo Alto. Burned about 250 acres. Fortunately, nobody was severely hurt, but that was a wake-up call to the fire district, and they said, we need to do something. So they started thinning out eucalyptus trees, because eucalyptus trees are not native to California. Plus, they go up like a Roman candle when they start on fire, and so they've been removing and topping and trimming, and that's a free service that we provide. Another another one that happened recently is dead pine trees. In the last 5 or 10 years, we've had a lot of dead pine trees. And once again, pine trees and juniper bushes on your property are like Roman candles when it comes to a fire. They just burn. So we've got a program that we go out and we remove dead pine trees. They removed over 1,200 dead pine trees in Los Altos Hills last year to reduce the fire problem. We've spent thousands and thousands of dollars on helping Parissima Water District on upgrading their water supply because we need water in a fire. So they've just spent a lot of money on their citizens because, you know, they pay a lot of taxes. These citizens pay a lot of taxes. And our fire district realizes that, you know, we got to do something for these citizens. And that's what they're doing. They're spending the money back on their citizens, which is totally different than I started with Morgan Hill Fire Department years ago. We consolidated with Santa Clara County Fire. When I taught a class in Morgan Hill, if I gave you a pencil, I needed it back at the end of the day. Now we provide so much to our citizens up here. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Wow. Well, Cynthia, maybe you can walk through, I'm sure you go through drills and simulations. Mm-hmm. What was the last drill that you did, and what did you do?
It was in November.
Yeah, November. We did one in November.
Yeah, it was probably the coldest day we'd had in November, and I came from work, had my dogs with me because I take my dogs to work, so, you know, dogs are welcome. They stay in the car, but they're welcome, and when I came up to the arc, there was a lady in charge already. Her name is Ginger, and she turned over to me what was going on by briefing me on what had happened in the time period it was from when the drill was called and when I arrived. And I was supposed to arrive a little late so that we could have this turnover.
I set it up that way.
Yeah. And the idea is that you need to be able to turn over not only where you are right now, but where you plan to be. So we have... At the arc, we have this huge side, one whole side of the arc that is plastered with long pieces of paper that have all of the districts on there and who's gone and what's been checked. And it's a way so that we can account for what we have done and what we haven't done. We know where we are. I check in on the board to make sure I know I understand what's going on the board. I check in with the ham radio guys who are in the back of the arc. We have two ham radio guys who sit back in the back. Bless their little hearts. Heat or cold, they're back there, and they are in contact with the EOC in town hall all the time. I can have somebody hand them a piece of paper and say, I need this and that and that, and they send that information to the EOC so that the EOC can respond. And it can be something as mundane as, I need water and a meal delivered at this corner, or I need an ambulance and a fire rig because we have a house on fire. Then we have calls. Mike sets this up in advance where he has people just bombard me with calls. What's going on? I have a tree down. I have somebody trapped in a house. I have Jimmy is down the well. Well, what is Jimmy? Is Jimmy a dog or is Jimmy a person? And you really have to think to ask those questions because somebody's going to call and say, well, you know, my Laura fell down in the well and I can't get Laura out. And you go out there thinking Laura's a little too, well, how old is Laura? 2 years old. And Laura turns out to be a 2-year-old Pomeranian, which I probably didn't have to send a whole bunch of people out to help the Pomeranian. But that's the type of thing that he gives us. And then what's the status? What's the status? It started out as 13. Now how many places is it that has to be checked immediately?
We have 32 places in Los Altos Hills that have to be checked. And that would be like the freeway overpasses, our water tanks, our radio antennas, Foothill Colleges, like number 3 on the list after the fire stations. Daughters of Charity, which is a nunnery up here that has 80 to 100 people.
Right.
So we, fortunately in Los Altos Hills, we don't have a lot of target hazards. I was talking to one of my battalion chiefs today, and if you're in the city of Cupertino, where it's a big industrial area, high rises, a lot of hotels, motels, strip malls, all those places have to be checked. And what people don't realize is that we do in the fire department, when the earthquake happens, the first thing we do is pull our rigs out and do make sure our fire engine's safe, our station is safe, and then we drive away and do what we call area survey. We have to drive the entire area before we can start going to work because we got to know what's going on. We call it triage. Fortunately for us in Los Altos Hills, we have a great number of CERT members that can start triaging the area for us and letting us know. So our firefighters are going to be able to go to work a lot faster here. What's tough for the firefighters is to drive by somebody's house that's burning. without stopping to put it out, because that's normally what we do. But there's one fire station here in Los Altos Hills for 10,000 people and 5,000 homes or whatever, and we just can't help everybody at one time. So that's why people need to take classes. They need to get involved. You know, back with what you were asking Cynthia, one of the main things that she does is to run the ARC and to control chaos. In a disaster, if you've ever been through one, if there's not somebody that's calm and cool, it's kind of like that old picture of the duck that is swimming along the water and nice and calm on top, but their feet are moving like heck on the bottom. That's what the supervisor does. And it's their responsibility to make sure everybody's taken care of and the positions are filled. They all wear safety vests that have their position on it. We have radio contact. And the key is once people start coming in and filling in, then we need to start assigning jobs such as medical. We even have triage tarps that we can put from minor to morgue. We have an area set up over there in lot number 7 that is tents. A black tarp that you put morgue, you put dead people at, tents and
cots and food and medical supplies and cribbing supplies that you can send out when somebody's trapped under something. We have the cribbing supplies, but it's not only in the ARC. We have two mobile trailers that are equally outfitted, and the fire department of the fire district has just done such a wonderful job of ensuring that we have the tools that we're going to need in any type of an emergency, all the way down to the vests that we wear. When we first came out, when I took the first CERT class, we had these funky little, they look like they were made out of some sort of a
mesh material.
Yeah, mesh material, bright fluorescent yellow vests. Well, okay, you could see me from far off, but it did nothing for me. And
well, she's a stylish person. She has to look good.
A year ago, Terry Pfefferly found a vest online and called me up and told me about it, and we bought our own vests. And these have 3 billion pockets in them. They've got a place where you can stick a light stick. They have a place where you can hook on a radio. They have places for pens and your cell phones.
Water.
Water. It's got a little thing on the back that you can use as a stuff sack. So if you have too much clothes on, you can put it in there. If it's going to rain, you can put your rain gear in there so that you can pull it on. And in this November drill, the commissioners...
Yeah, the fire commissioners came out and saw what we did.
Came out and saw what we were doing. And I took the opportunity to say, and look at this vest. Wouldn't it be great if every CERT had these vests? And guess what they did?
Yeah, we went out and bought them.
They got them for
us. So they all have them. Well, we bought 50. And once again, we have 152 CERT members. Not all of them are active. I mean, some people take the CERT class just so that they can take the class, but then really not do anything with it.
Right.
Whereas we have probably about 70 active members. So in a disaster, those 70, and so what we've done is we've ordered 50 vests. Those are gone. I have another 50 on order to get ready to order another 50, and those will go to the next round of people that are active. But, you know, it's just the problem that we have, and we've talked about it up here, is we do not have the disasters like they do in the Midwest, along the Gulf, in Florida, or even up in New England, where they have the snow and the blizzards and the ice storms and those tornadoes, whatever it is, hurricanes. We haven't had those. Not to say that we won't. I mean, wildland and earthquakes are our two main concerns.
And there have been some wind issues.
About 3 years ago, during January 1st, we had a windstorm incident that actually a eucalyptus tree fell down and killed a bicyclist as he was riding by. But our CERT members would be used on that for traffic control. Mm-hmm. We have a station that it's a sandbag station. That, you know, if you've ever filled sandbags before and you use the old way where you hold the bag and somebody shovels sand into it, it goes slow, plus you can cut your hands and everything. I went online and saw what they do in the Midwest in Mississippi and found out that they, you know, use 2x4s with cones and cut the cone off so sand flows a lot freer. The town of Los Altos Hills Public Works guys, I told them what I needed. In one day, they made two of these stations. They're over at the corporation yard. So if we have a sandbag incident, we can use those right away to fill hundreds of sandbags in a short amount of time. So it's not only just the disaster of the earthquake or the wildland fire. It could be anything else. We even had a class last year on finding a lost child. If you remember 3 or 4 years ago over in the town of, Tracy. They had a little 7-year-old girl. She got abducted and was later found dead. They used the CERT people over there to do the searching for them. They also brought in some professional search teams, but when you have 100 people searching compared to 6, you can cover a lot bigger area. So myself and Richard Serini went over there and took the class, and we brought it back, and I ended up condensing it down into a 3-hour class for our CERT people. And so we can be used that if somebody is, a child is lost, an adult that has Alzheimer's, or somebody is riding a horse and the horse comes back to the stable and they don't know where that person is, our CERT members, not all of them, the majority of them have been trained in what to do on a search. And that would be something that we do besides earthquakes or fires.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how again can people, if people are interested in getting involved with being a community emergency response person?
You need to start with PEP. You need to take the personal emergency preparedness class that Mike teaches. From there, the next step is just to take the CERT course, and the CERT course goes for 6 weeks?
5 weeks.
5 weeks, and it's generally on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday night for 4 weeks, and then we have about 10 days off, and then we do the CERT last class on a Saturday. And
yeah, and that last class is it's a drill. It's a drill where they have you go to all these different stations and you crib to get somebody out who's been trapped. They have these kids come in who act as victims, who do a great job of screaming and yelling. And
puts it pretty realistic.
Yeah, it's very realistic. You get blood all over them and somebody dies. And you have to handle not only the fact that somebody died, but that everybody is going to be responding to that as well. Hmm. And it's just, how does somebody do it? They take the time.
Yeah, and like we mentioned before, if somebody's interested, they can call me at 650-922-1055, or they can go to the Los Altos Hills County Fire District website, which is www.lahcfd.org, or they can even personally email me at mike.sanders@cnt.sccgov.org. So it's Mike Sanders at Charlie Nancy Tom, Santa Clara County Government.org.
And just remember, when you take the PEP class, you're going to come away prepared. You're going to have a bucket full of stuff. That bucket has food in it, it has toilet paper,
has water. In it. Yeah, it's actually a toilet.
And it's actually a potty.
But just remember to take the stuff out first right. before you use it.
Does it have a radio in it?
And it has a AM/FM battery wind-up radio, which is also a flashlight. It has pills in there to be able to disinfect water. Mm-hmm. It has a tool in there to be able to turn your gas or gas off in an emergency. It has some shelter blankets. It has ponchos. It's got some food in there. It's maybe not the exact food that you would want to eat, but it is very nutritional, high-calorie, high-fiber bars. And they last. It's enough for somebody to last a family of four for 3 days.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what when you were talking earlier about that making sure that you chronicle everything, because in a fire, the problems that were happening in Southern California, what was it that they learned from the fires in Southern California?
Well, what happened in the late 60s when they had the wildland fires down in Malibu and the other facilities down there, excuse me, they... the fire engines would come from different municipalities. They had what's called mutual aid, but what would happen is they'd come in and start freelancing. Somebody would drive over here, somebody would drive over there. The communications were very poor. The channel I had on my radio didn't work on your radio from another department. So they put it in the incident command system where there's basically one boss. And you'd be surprised the number of people that use incident command system, because really what it is somebody at the top, and then it branches down to different people that supervise. Most businesses do it that way, not even knowing that they're already doing the incident command system. It's so vital that when we have, like, if we have an incident here in Los Altos Hills, not only the Santa Clara County Fire Department is going to be involved, let's say it's a wildland fire, that if available, we're going to get cities like Mountain View, San Jose, Oakland, San Francisco, mutual aid of what we have. We may even get some from Southern California, but you think about the time travel that it takes for us to get, for you just to drive it in a car from LA to here is, you know, 5 hours or whatever, that in a fire engine, it's probably 8 or 9 hours. we even have mutual aid from out of state. We have several pieces of equipment in our fire department that have been as far away as Colorado, Wyoming, on those type of things. And when those guys are gone, they're gone for 3 weeks at a time. So we, if needed, we could get that type of resource here, but it sure takes a long time to get here.
And so the importance of preparedness is that it saves lives. It helps people focus on what they need to do.
Right. Well, you know, the main thing is people need to learn to take care of themselves. If they take care of themselves, the problem, such as if they, in Los Altos Hills, if they trim the bushes around their house, if they remove the vegetation that falls on the top of the house, if they have an address at the front of their driveway, you'd be surprised the number of people that don't have addresses. Up here in Los Altos Hills, we don't have streetlights, and it's dark at night for my firefighters to try and find you. Now, in a fire, we can find your house because we can see the fire. But if you're having a heart attack or a medical aid, it's going to take us a little bit to get there. Now, we have GPS, and we have locators, and we have nice maps and everything. But if you have a nice address out front, so, you know, by being prepared just for those little things is going to help you. If you can take care of your family for 3 days, because I know people that say they have 2 to 3 weeks worth of water. The reason is yes, 3 days is nice, but let's say we don't get water for 5 or 6 days. Now, Parissima Hills Water District and Cal Water that are up here have said we will have water. I totally believe them, but I always look at worst case scenario, that if we don't have water for 5 or 6 days, I don't want to have to go stand in those water lines for hours and hours and hours to carry away a case of water for my family. So we tell people to have at least 1 gallon of water per person per day in your house. So if you're a family of four, you need 4 gallons times 3 days is 12 gallons of water. And water is the key thing. Food, a lot of us can do without. And we have people that go, well, I'll still be able to get back in my house. Worst case scenario, we're not. I mean, you look at all the homes that were damaged in the 89 earthquake that people could not get back into. So, you know, plan for yourself, plan for the worst, and expect the best.
And also have some sort of plan, because we aren't all together when a disaster
correct.
Happens.
Right.
That
right.
You know that some of us are at work, some of us are at home, some of us are somewhere else.
Well, and I think one of the best ones is if you have kids, talk to your kids, because we've been in the schools and taught kids what to do in case of an emergency. They have a fire drill. They line up. They go outside. They wait until the teacher tells them to go back in. It's okay. Same thing has to happen for the homeowner. They need to sit down with their kids and say, okay, if we have a disaster right now, an earthquake right now, where are we going to meet? First of all, don't go to the back of your house, because the firefighters are not going to go to the back of your house. We're going to go to the front door. The other one is make sure everybody's out and don't go back inside the house until it's safe. If you're at work, make sure you have points of contact of where you're going to meet your family in a disaster. Like I say, lot number 7 right here at Foothill College is a great place to meet the families if they live on the west side of Highway 280 near the El Monte area. If you're on the south side of town, down by Magdalena, you know, there are areas to meet. The biggest problem we have is we have overpasses. We have a freeway right here. Chances of those being damaged, who knows? I know that in the 89 earthquake, the overpass at Magdalena was damaged. Highway 17 from Santa Clara County to Santa Cruz County was closed for weeks, and you couldn't get through on Highway 17. You could take back roads, but it still takes a long time. But having meeting places and how to contact your family and everybody if there is a disaster are huge, because peace of mind. If you know everything's okay with your family, you'll be okay. It's like I tell my firefighters, is you want to have a way for your family to check in with you, because if they don't check in with them in the first couple hours, all my firefighters are thinking about is what's wrong with my family? How's my family? And they cannot do their job effectively. Same thing goes for a citizen. If you're at home and you don't know if your husband or your wife is trapped in a high-rise building, or were they on the freeway when the Bay Bridge collapsed, or, you know, you just don't know, is that you have to have meeting areas so you go there. So, but just remember, in an evacuation, if we evacuate you and we tell you not to go back in, you cannot go back in.
Just to round out here, because I know we're coming to the top of the hour, what does CERT do? In an emergency, there aren't enough firefighters, there aren't enough police personnel, there aren't enough ambulances, but there are enough of us to help each other, and that's what CERT is here for, is to help ourselves. It's to empower us to be able to get through to the next step. And that's what's important.
And it, that brings me back to the very beginning of what we talked about, Robert, is that's why it's vital for KFJC to be an integral part of our communication process for people, because the number one thing is communication. Like I mentioned before, if your family can't communicate, they're not going to be, they're going to be very concerned. Same way here, is that if KFJC can say the evacuation center is open at Foothill College or in lot number 7 or at West Wind Barn or whatever those are, we're going to depend a lot on KFJC 89.7. So,
yes, we are.
You know, I thank you for allowing us to come in here and talk about this kind of thing.
It's been really great.
No, this will be, well, it's certainly I think an important thing for every community to have the resources to be able to help themselves and to help each other.
Right.
And so what I'd encourage people to do, you know, that that not all of us are fortunate enough to live in Los Altos Hills, and I know that some of you are listening tonight, that that every city has their own programs. That you can find out how to take your own emergency preparedness course. You can get online and check with your local fire department or with your county fire service.
Right. Yeah, if you just you know, go to the city's websites, they usually have something on disaster planning, and if not, send them an email or call them, and they'll direct you to it. And you know, the Red Cross is a huge benefit for us too. So you know, if you can't get a hold of anybody in your city, Red Cross is a great way too.
But it's really the people. The people make the difference. So it's each individual who steps up, and that's the person who makes a difference.
And that's why it's important to volunteer, because it's important when things start happening that we don't need a lot of we don't need a lot of people watching what's happening.
Right.
We need people to get involved and to make sure that other people are helped.
Right. Well, and we will get people that want to volunteer. The problem is, if you're not trained, we can't use you.
And then that's the other part. There's no room for freelancers.
Well,
here.
And all of our CERT members are what we call DSW, or Disaster Service Worker Certified. They're covered under workman's compensation. So, you know, if they're out there doing the job, which they're trained to do, they will be covered. Whereas a citizen comes out and wants to help, we can't really use them. We can swear them in and get them eventually helping us, but they don't have the training our CERT members do.
So that means that if you want to help during a disaster, you have to be prepared now. And so you can go to the Los Altos County Fire Department's website at lahcfd.org to find out more about that. You can go to citizenscorp.gov/CERT to find out about the Community Emergency Response Team on a national level and find out where a local group is for you. I'm Robert Emmett. We've gone through our hour tonight on ThoughtLine. I want to thank Mike Saunders and also Cynthia Sternberg for being here tonight.
Yeah, pleasure.
It was great, Robert. Maybe we can do it again.
And as we tell you each week on ThoughtLine, if there's something you believe in, get involved in it, and don't let anyone make up your mind for you. Coming up next is Pete Dixon. Until next week, Robert Emmett saying, be seeing you.
Opinions expressed on KFJC are not necessarily those of its staff or management. Responsible parties with opposing views may be provided time to air those views. For more information, write to the Public Affairs Director at KFJC, 12345 El Monte Road, Los Altos Hills, California, 94022. Broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC, Los Altos Hills.